Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2008. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic and oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this special edition of Liberty Talk Radio. Typically, we would broadcast on a Thursday morning, but since the tomorrow morning is New Year's Day, I figured we'd do it this morning. I'll probably be getting up a little later than normal tomorrow morning. I've been invited over to a friend's house tonight. I normally don't go out on New Year's Eve, by the way, but I decide, my wife says, let's go. They invited us, so I figured I would wind up being up late and not be able to broadcast early in the morning, so I did it this morning. Thank you for joining me. During our live broadcast this morning, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Or you can email us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I really would love to hear from my listeners. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your criticisms as well. And also your questions. And we will make a broadcast out of it. If you are listening to our rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two, by the way. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. That's ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. I've got to know Andy through radio. He's an economist. His newsletter is excellent. I mean, truly the very, very best in the business. He takes a macroeconomic point of view. And today, folks, we need to understand what is going on, so we individually can make decisions for ourselves on how to protect ourselves during these very, very difficult financial times. By the way, this program is now available on Sunday evenings through Restore the Republic Radio Network. We appreciate their commitment to our program and encourage you to visit their website, rtrradio.com, for their entire listing of informative programs. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm starting to get my voice back. It's still not there. It's only about 50 or 75% back. And it's very annoying because I cannot, I think more about how much my voice is hurting me as I talk rather than thinking about what I want to say. Just like it is, it actually hurts slightly just to speak. Now, every once in a while, I will take a two-second break, and that's because I'm going to swallow some fluid to keep my voice going, which I'll do right now. Thank you for your patience. Well, this morning, I would like to do what I'll bet everybody else, well, I know everyone else does, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing it, wrapping up the year, you know, the year in review. Well, quite frankly, I don't like those programs. I don't watch them. I find them boring. Why the heck would I want to rehash everything that went on during the year? I mean, you hear the news that they broadcast to you is the stuff that you've probably seen maybe a dozen times, possibly 20 times. They rehash the same thing over and over again. And then at the end of the year, they rehash the rehash. And I do not intend to do that. In fact, I find it putrid to do that. So I will not do that. But I would like to give you maybe a little bit of perspective, something to think about. If there is something that this country needs to think. I'll be very honest with you. I'm having an increasingly difficult time relating to other people. I know that sounds strange. I have a lot of good friends. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a recluse or anything like that. In fact, I have too many friends. I spend all my time keeping in contact with them. But generally speaking, when I go somewhere and I amongst a group of people that I have previously not known, I try very, very carefully to listen to what people are saying, to see where they're coming from. People shut other people out because of the constraints that they have, that they've built on themselves. And as a result, they filter everybody else. Now, I do the same thing. I do the same thing, but probably in reverse. I really want to make friends. You know, I want to know what they have to say, but I don't want them to shut me out, and I don't want to shut them out. I'll give you an example. Now, this is a silly example, and I'm sure it's not even pertinent, but I need to talk about something this morning. But listen to this one. She's a sweetheart. My wife is she's beautiful, and she's an absolute angel. I'm a very, very, very lucky man. Very lucky. And I adore this woman. Well, we do everything together. We've biked across the state of Oklahoma several times, about a dozen times or so. And my wife is always trying to make new friends. And I'm saying, please, we have enough friends. We have enough friends, you know. But I give all new people a test. And one time we were having lunch with a group of bikers while we were trekking across the state of Oklahoma. And they seem like nice people, but they just seem very conservative, if you know what I mean. Very, you know, boxed in. Everything's this way and that way. And my wife wants to make friends with them, and I gave them my test. I said, geez, wasn't it really hot and hilly this morning? And then they agreed. I said, geez, the humidity was very high. The temperature really started rising very quickly. And some of those hills were so steep, I wound up swearing in three different languages, two of which I've never heard of before, in jest. And I look at the expression on their face, and typically they'll go give you that look like, oh, you know, that insulted look. So you know. At that point, I'll tell you what I do. I know this is really, really nasty, folks, and you're not going to like me for it. I just get up and I leave. And my wife gets so angry with me. And I tell my wife, you know, if people get upset at something like that, if they're just so boxed in their thinking that everything has to be said and done a certain proper way, I can't handle that. I said, we have no relationship. I mean, what if I mention something that she does not agree with? I mean, this woman would come apart, or this man would come apart. I mean, they would reject us. I said, so I'm saving us a lot of time and trouble. Now, why am I saying all of this stupid stuff? I'm saying this because we have lost the ability, we truly have lost the ability to converse. You know, if someone is truly different than me, you know, I want to know a lot about that person, why that person wound up to be so different than me. And if I disagree with that person wholeheartedly, that's fine, but I would want this person to converse and not get angry with me. And I find that very trying. I find that is truly the exception rather than the rule. Now, though, this is a lead-in to what I'm saying, going to say about this year in review. Here is my take on this year in review. First of all, we are a people of non-thinkers. We cannot even think or remember what we did in school, what we learned in school. We do not know the basics of freedom. We do not know the basics of liberty. We do not even understand the concept of inalienable rights. That being said, what good is it to rehash all of the garbage that the United States has put us through, our government has put us through this year? And it's been garbage, folks. Absolute garbage. The only way that I can sum up this year is that the roosters are coming home to roost. In other words, all of the, you know, we've done so many wrong things, and now we're starting to suffer the consequences for them. Very plain and simple. And yet people want to blame the capitalistic system, free enterprise, laissez-faire, low import quotas, all this garbage. I mean, unadulterated garbage. And you know what we do? We eat it up, we buy it, we accept it. And when we commit the ultimate, the absolute ultimate sin is we regurgitate it. Every time on TV, when there is a man on the street question, microphone goes to the guy's face and they ask him a question, and the responses are word for word what you hear on TV. Total idiocracy. Total. We cannot think. We can't say, hey, this is the garbage that has been fed to us. You know, this is what is missing. This is what, and even if you don't know the answer, admit it. Say, I do not understand. Now, I have one friend that will never, ever, ever admit that he does not know anything. And my father was that way. My father was a good man. He worked harder than, I tell you, I mean, really old-fashioned, worked hard. But my father came from the old country, and the old country had a caste system to it. And things that we don't understand. And it was very important for my father to, at least in his mind, place himself in a certain class category. Although we don't have class categories here. Our politicians make them up for us, but we don't have them. Excuse me for one second, please. I got to take a sip. Thank you. Oh, by the way, let me just take a break for a second. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Our call-in number this morning is 646-652-4620. Please call in. We have five open lines. I don't expect many calls or any calls this morning because this is a special edition. We normally do broadcast on Thursday morning. This is Wednesday morning, and because of the holiday, we're a day early. I figured I wouldn't be up, and neither would anyone else. So it's 646-652-4620. Send me your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com, especially your questions, please. I do get many compliments, and I do appreciate them very, very much. They're encouraging, and they motivate me. All right, let me go back to my father would never admit he's wrong. Not that he wouldn't admit he's wrong. He would never admit he didn't know anything. And he used to drive me crazy. And I'm finding that Americans are that way. I recall when I worked for a major oil company, there was a guy that stood up in front of the class, and was teaching us about computers at the time. This is when computers first came out. And MVS system was something new. And that was multiple virtual storage system. And he explained it in computer terms. And at the end, I raised my hand and I said, in fact, this guy's name was Owen. I even remember the guy's name. I said, excuse me, Owen, you know, I really didn't understand that. He says, oh, thank you for telling me that. And then he explained in Dick and Jane language, and I understood multiple virtual storage. And this is the beginning of computers. So, you know, we didn't have a computer mind at all, you know. You know what happened to me then? I was brought into the big boss's office for actually degrading the department. Asking a question, a basic question, saying I did not understand. Immediately, I was sent to our Houston office to a special computer workshop for several days. What did I learn there? You never admit that you don't know anything. And this permeates our society. Well, let's characterize Let's say that we know everything now. Let's characterize the year 2008. It is the year not of failure of the laissez-faire, not the failure of free enterprise, not the failure of our Constitution. It's not the failure of freedom, nor liberty, nor our inalienable rights, nor free trade, or any of that. None of that failed us. One thing absolutely did fail, and that was government. 2008 was the year of government failure. And this is what we have to understand. Now, when government comes out and says, well, obviously, we can't have a totally free market because it won't work. See what happens? Well, first of all, we don't have a free market. And the reason why it didn't work is because government distorted the free market in such a way that it was doomed for failure. Then when it fails, they blame the free market. So I would characterize 2008 as the year of government failure. Not that 2007 and 2006 were much any different. But this year, remember, the roosters are starting to come home to roost. Now, here is another characteristic, and I'm going to take it from the government. I'm going to bring it back home to us. This year was characterized by the citizens' acceptance of government intrusion. You say, well, what's new about that? Here's the difference this year that trumps all other years. We typically do accept government intrusion, especially during difficult times or downturns in our economy. This year, we expected government intrusion. So 2008, I would like to characterize as bridging that gap, making that quantum leap from acceptance to expectation. Now, that is critical. It is critical because it's one thing to say, well, I expected, you know, Johnny to do that stupid thing, you know. I mean, I accept the fact that Johnny did that stupid thing, you know. He's kind of a crazy guy, you know. But when you expect him to do that all the time, that's different. And now we have an expectation that government will intrude in our market system, will intrude in our lives. Now, once we have an expectation that that will happen, when government doesn't intrude, doesn't violate the Constitution, we will become disappointed. Is that not a turn of events? Back in the 1930s, a majority of the people refused government assistance because they said it's wrong. They said, times are tough. This is for us to handle. We will do it. If we have to find garbage in the street, bring it up here, and burn it in our wood-burning stove for heat, that's what we will do. But we will not take a handout from anyone. Now, we went from that mentality to, what do you mean I'm not getting a refund check? How come my refund check is so small? Is that not only is there acceptance, but there is an expectation that the government will take care of us. Now, on this road, we say this road goes from a free market system to a socialistic system. Well, that's not exactly true. It's not exactly accurate, I should say. See, we are going from a free market system to a fascist system. Now, I know fascists, you think of Mussolini and World War II and all this other stuff. But think of fascism as very simple, is when government does not own the means of production as it would in a communist state. But they do regulate it to a point where industry and government are very, very strong and equal partners. In other words, they make all the rules. They have all the resources, and then we're left with the remainder. That is fascism. That's where we are now. So we have moved from a free market system to a system or a system based on liberty, to one which became socialistic, to one which is now fascistic. Now, if you ask the progressives of our country, the one term that I have to admit I hate with a passion. I hate it more than any other political word, progressive. I hate that word because it is so dangerous to us. Because they think they're being so benevolent, and all they're doing is they are feeding the government and the corporations with power in order to control the rest of us, and they think it's benevolent. So we have two things that occurred in 2008. We had massive government failure, not a failure of freedom. We had a crossover, a change, a flight from acceptance to expectation. And the third thing we had is we had some incongruity, tremendous incongruity. We have a citizenship that is so unenamored with our Congress. The disapproval rate is something like 90%. Nancy Pelosi, when she became Speaker of the House, expectations were so high that changes were going to be made. I mean, it's going to be mind-boggling. And what we learned is that she did exactly what everyone else did. She fell right into line. And, there were a lot of arguments, but nothing had changed. Now, we all know that. I mean, that's a fact of life. This is something that we hear nearly every day, whether we listen to the news or not, right? And we're all in the same boat. And what do? We vote all the same people back in. In other words, I want to go back to that concept of loss of ability to think rationally, think through problems. And government does a great job of saying, I know you disapprove it with us, but it's not us. It's the free market system. It's the lack of regulation. You know, folks, we have regulation on regulation on regulation. And as I tell all of my progressive friends who drive me nuts, that if there was no regulation whatsoever, we would be a lot safer. And they go crazy. They say, there would be panic. There would be, people would be dying all over the place. And I give them an example. I said, we're worried about our banking system. What if we had a banking system that wherein there was absolutely no regulation at all? And a bank opened on the corner. And they came to you and said, hey, why don't you give me your money and I'll hold on to it for you. I'll give you a couple of percent interest. Now, you don't know who these people are. There's no regulation. There's no guarantee at all. Would you put your money there? Well, of course you wouldn't. I mean, unless you knew the people personally and, all this other stuff and you did investigation and, I mean, things that a normal, regular person couldn't do. No, you wouldn't do that. So the bank would open up. Now the bank here has just opened this building, cost them $1 million, and no one's coming in. What would the bank do? Well, first of all, the bank wouldn't open in the first place because there would be no trust that these people could handle your money. They would have to prove it to you. And you see, today banks don't have to prove this to us at all, because there is an expectation that the government will bail us out. You see how this goes full circle, folks? This whole thing goes full circle, and we're trapped. We're entrapped in this thing. We're encased in this cycle of insanity that there's no way out unless we break out of it altogether. And we say, this is wrong. We start thinking. We say, wait a minute, our thinking is wrong. We need to change. We need to listen to people like Ron Paul. We need to be reading information from the Mises Institute. We need to be reading stuff from the Cato Institute, from the American Institute of Economic Research, from the Future of Freedom Foundation, from the Foundation of Economic Opportunity, and a host of others. And there's a Ron Paul website. There's Citizens in Charge by Paul Jacob. We are talking people who are brilliant minds, people who are trying to make and keep America free. But what do? We sit back and watch television, and we have people like Keith Olbermann, you know, who's a hardcore Democrat, you know, criticizing the Republicans and never saying a bad thing about a Democrat. You know, how good, Keith Olbermann. You know, you're a good talker. You know, you're eloquent. You know, you're very, very persuasive, you know, but you are fraud. You're an absolute fraud. And we have to look at each one of these people on TV as frauds. And we need to do our own research. We need to start looking at ourselves and saying, do I really understand that? When I say war on terror, do I really know what that means? But we don't want to think, because we have an acceptance of government, and now we have an expectation of government that they will take care of it. By the way, I voted for him, and that's his job. That's the person's job in office, his or her job, to make sure that the war on terror is taken care of, and all these things in the economy, and the economy is taken care of. Now, the last thing I'd like to say before we go off the air is that Obama's approach to health care is to ask the public. That's what his new, not attorney general, I can't think of the fellow's name, but his approach was to ask the public. What do you think the public is going to tell him? Oh, yes, I'd love free drugs, and I'd love to have, you know, this and this and that. As Henry Ford said, if he had asked the public about the car, about transportation, you know what they would have told him? We need a faster horse. And what we're going to do is when Obama goes out and asks the people, we're going to get more government regulation. And with that, I bid everyone Happy New Year. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk: don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.